Praise the Lord, everyone. You can be seated tonight. It is good to be back. As I said this morning, we've been gone for about a week and a half. Our Bible quizzers, we have a number of Bible quizzing teams here in our church, and three of our teams placed high enough in their rankings to make it to our national Bible quizzing tournaments. So we had two teams in Branson, and then we had one team in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So we went to Branson for part of the time, and then we drove from Branson over to Murfreesboro, Tennessee for our senior quizzers. And we'll be having a special day for them here after our Summer Fun Fest is over. And we want to take and honor them and their accomplishments because they did a great job. And I'm very, very proud of our junior and senior Bible quizzers and their coaches and all the parents that are involved. It is a great sacrifice. A lot of time goes into this, and it was just great to be a part of it. So thank you so much for allowing us to be there and crashing your quizzes, man. They did awesome, though, and I'm very proud of them. Tonight we're going to take and we're going to start a series. This will go through the end of this month, kind of run into our back-to-school revival. But when we were at family camp this year, and Brother Davis was preaching one of the evening messages, he had made a statement when he was there in his message, and he said, "We as Pentecostals, we feel like we have to have more power in order to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish or what God desires for us to accomplish." And he says, "We don't need any more power. We have all the power that we need in the power of the Holy Ghost. What we need is more faith." And that statement challenged me because we had been talking about earlier about asking God to give us more power and asking God to give us more authority and taking the power and authority that he gives to us and using it. And of course, our theme this year is expect, and we want to expect all of the various things as far as harvest, fruit, miracles, healing, and you can kind of finish reading that yourself there. And I have to be honest in my message tonight. I'm just going to just lay it out there. I expected more. And I said, "God, why am I not experiencing what I want to experience? Why are we not seeing what I would expect us to see?" And God just kind of started to deal with me on some things. And I believe that we are on a journey, okay? And I believe that we're on a journey that will change the way that we act. We're on a journey that will change the way that we think. And we're on a journey that will change what we do and how we do it. Understand one thing, that God desires to grow our faith in him probably a whole lot more than we desire to have faith in him. God is begging his church, God is begging his children to please exercise the faith that I have given to you. And it falls down to how do we get that faith then? Where does that faith come from? How come some people have more faith? Some people have less faith. How come some people can pray and things happen, and other people can pray and pray and pray and pray, and nothing seems to happen? What is that? Why is that? So tonight, I believe that God desires that we think his thoughts. God desires that we grow in his ways. God desires that we become as he is and become what he desires for us to be. And God desires to take us places that we have thought were unthinkable places in him. Our minds are very, very tricky at times. Our minds can reach out and we can almost, it blows us away by what we think and what we think we can do, and then also the limitations in our minds as to what we stop ourselves from doing, because in our minds we limit ourselves, and thus we, in our minds, we limit God. And so tonight, we're going to start on a journey. This is a series on faith, and it's a series on potential. Because within each and every one of us, there is a measure of faith given. And God has given each and every one of us potential. And what we do with that faith and what we do with that potential has everything to do with how we think. So this series, we're going to title this series, When You're Unthinkable, Reaching Out in Faith, When You're Unthinkable Becomes Unstoppable. You see, God desires to take us to a place of the unthinkable so we can do and become the unstoppable in Him. Proverbs 23:7 tells us, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So church, tonight we have an opportunity in these next few services, these next few weeks, we have an opportunity to expand our godly thoughts and to grow our godly thoughts. God desires us to think and grow in His ways and become what He desires for us to become. God desires to take us places that we thought were unthinkable before. And God desires that we grow our faith and that we expand our faith to a point where our unthinkable becomes unstoppable. How many of you are wanting to take a journey like that tonight? How many of you are willing to start on a journey like this tonight? Over the next few weeks, we'll be taking this journey, and it's a process of faith, it's a process of trust, and it's a process of expanding our understanding in God, thus growing our potential and becoming what God wants you and I to become. So in this series, Unthinkable Becomes Unstoppable, it's a series of faith, potential, and tonight is just an introduction to our series. We're not going to get into a whole lot of depth tonight, but our scripture, our theme scripture for this series will be from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20. And this verse is a powerful verse that describes our unlimited potential in Jesus Christ. And if we could stand tonight for the reading of this, chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And my throat is really giving me fits here. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Now let's repeat that. Let's read that with me. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. That's pretty powerful. When I look at that, it tells me that I can do above, exceedingly abundantly above, not just a little bit above, but a whole lot above what we're able to ask or even think, according to what? The power that worketh within us. The power that worketh within the person next to you, the power that worketh within the pastor, it's the power that worketh within us. So what God is trying to tell His church here is that I can do above what you can ask, I can do above what you can think, but it's according to the power, it's according to the faith, it's according to the trust that is within you. And who is that trust in? Are we trusting in ourselves? We're trusting in God. God bless you. You can be seated. So tonight, if we're willing to surrender our will to His will, our thoughts to His thoughts, if we will mentally with our minds accept this verse as God's will for the rest of our lives and for this church, it will launch us into a future with Jesus Christ and a future that we thought just a few moments or a few days ago was simply unthinkable. If we mentally with our minds accept this, if we can take and wrap our minds around this. Listen, it does not matter tonight of your past failures. It doesn't matter of your past wrongs. Even if tonight you are in a current situation that is a mess, God can and will turn things around. And we need to let this truth sink into our minds. The breakthroughs that you and I need, what we may desire on the outside, must first start on the inside. We must first start to change the way that we process our thoughts. We notice the verse states that the power that worketh within, it starts within us. It doesn't start with what we look like on the outside. It starts with what we are thinking on the inside. I remember back in junior high school, we had a chemistry class, and it was kind of one of those chemistry physics class tied together. And in this class, we had many, many interesting discussions concerning the laws of physics. We got in all kinds of trouble in chemistry, so we spent less time in chemistry because we were always trying to burn something that we shouldn't be burning and mix things together we shouldn't be mixing. So we learned a lot more about physics than we did on chemistry. And I'm no master at chemistry, and I'm no expert in the laws of physics. So we were discussing the word mass one day in class. And to some of the students there, mass, because they were Catholic, it had a whole different meaning to what the word mass means in physics. But in physics, mass means something of size, something that is larger. We would say that an elephant has a lot of mass. Then we would say that a blue whale has like 50 times more mass than an elephant. As the trucks drive down the road, there is a lot of mass there. And the topic would go from mass, and it went from mass, it went to speed, and it went to velocity. So we begin to ask questions about mass and speed and velocity. So as you drive down the interstate, you have a 120,000-pound 18-wheeler doing 70 miles an hour. There's a lot of mass, there's a lot of speed, and there's velocity that all come into play. And we have an opportunity there to ask questions. And me being who I guess I am, and I always had this question in my mind, so I kind of cleared my throat. I was actually pretty quiet in high school. I was real introverted. I didn't say a whole lot. So here I asked our teacher, and I remember his name very well. His name was Mr. Thompson. And he called out my name, and he said, "Yes, Mr. Grant." And I said, "I have a question about mass, velocity, and speed." So he asked, he said, "Okay." He says, "What is your question?" And I said, "What would happen if an object that was so large that it could not be stopped, it collided with an object that was so large that it could not be moved?" I thought that was a really mind-twisting question. And he looked at me, and he had glasses on, and he lowers his glasses, and he looks over the top of his glasses, and he says, "Mr. Grant." And I waited patiently for his answer. He said, "There is simply no such objects." I was disappointed, because somewhere in this universe, there's got to be an object that is going so fast, that is so big, that it can't be stopped. But there's also got to be an object that is so massive, and when something hits it, it won't move. The only thing I can think of is just God. So I became, I guess, the word unstoppable kind of hit me there. And, we see these giant trucks. We just traveled down the interstates. We spent a lot of time over the last 10 days driving down the interstates, and we're driving between on our way to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and there's this truck that was behind us, and we passed him as he was coming up on a ramp, and he had these big rolls of steel on the truck, and it was an old cab over for you trucker guys out there. Remember the old cab over internationals? How many of you know what a cab over is? Okay. And I'm guessing it probably had a Detroit diesel in it from the way that it sounded, because I'm just going back to my grandpa, trying to remember my grandpa's back. And it was an old International, but it was fixed up. It was really looking nice. And we're doing like 80 miles an hour, and this guy's like on my bumper. And I'm like, man, I told my wife, I said, I can't believe how fast this guy's going. He's going 80 miles an hour. Well, the speed limit was 70. So I sped up. I thought, I wonder how fast he will go. I sped up to 85, and he's like right there. And we go across the Tennessee River, and it's a large bridge, and it goes up, and it's a long way across there. And he was dropped way back there, and I told my wife, I said, we've lost him now. You know, it wasn't but a few minutes. I hear this. I look in my mirror, and he's like right there. I look up my speedometer. I'm almost doing 90. Now, I just talked about breaking the law a few weeks ago. So I'm confessing here tonight. That dude in that semi-truck, I don't know where he was going, but he was in a hurry to get there, and he passed us with a full load of steel doing better than 90 miles an hour. Now, that's a lot of mass. That's a lot of speed, a lot of velocity, and I look at that, and I look at that as something that is unstoppable. What would it take to stop that? But, you know, as large as fast as he was going, you know, if he just slammed on them brakes, inside them brake drums is just these little brake pads that seemingly seem very small, but there's 18 of them, and they all grip, and they'll stop that truck. We travel on the highways. I love watching trains, and I see a 10,000-ton train. Now, we're talking a whole different ballgame here. Now, we're not talking 40 tons. We're talking 10,000 tons of train. And it's traveling at 75. We were going across New Mexico on one of our vacations, and I was doing 75 miles an hour, and I got passed by a 10,000-ton freight train. That's depressing. I couldn't go any faster. The old motorhome, it was all she would give. Didn't have no more to give. I told my wife, I said, this is the ultimate embarrassment to get passed by a 120-car, 10,000-ton train at 75 miles an hour. A lot of mass, unstoppable. But you see, all of these things really, they are not really unstoppable. They all can be stopped. So tonight, my favorite word tonight is unstoppable. Unstoppable. How many of you have a favorite word in your vocabulary that you refer to all the time? We need to start referring to unstoppable as one of our favorite words, that we are unstoppable. Unstoppable. Brother Claude, you are unstoppable. We are unstoppable. So there's a lot of words that challenge me. You see, unstoppable means that something is coming and there's nothing that anyone can do to stop it. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what actions you take. There's a tornado that is coming, and it is within a block away, and the houses on the end of the block are exploding, and it's headed your direction, and you're standing there, and you're trying to get it to stop, but there's nothing you can do to stop that tornado. You can say stop all you want to. A tsunami is coming, a huge tsunami wave running 300-400 miles an hour, 120 feet tall, slams into the shores of where you live, and you want to stop that. That is something that is unstoppable. Anything. Also, we have in the spirit world, there are things that are unstoppable. You and I, if we are committed, we are unstoppable. Revival is unstoppable. When we look at the days of the early church, there was conflict and there was controversy, and it threatened to take the young church down. But instead of killing it, instead of destroying it, those challenges fueled a fire that spread a revival across the continent and across the known world. The power of God, the Holy Ghost power that we have today, it is simply unstoppable. Think of the many obstacles that that first church faced. In Acts 4:18, it says that the religious leaders of the day tried to take and quiet them, tried to muzzle the message that Peter and John boldly proclaimed, and several times they charged them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John, they wouldn't keep quiet, and they got locked up, and they ended up in prison, and God sent a messenger to restart what they had stopped. And during the night, an angel of the Lord opened up the prison doors, and they brought them out. And what did Peter and John do? What did they do? What did the angel tell them to do? He says, go back and finish what you started. I'm not going to let you stop. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life. And after freeing them, the angel charged them to go back and pick up where they left off. And they did what we would call something that would be unthinkable. After spending a night in prison, you don't want to go back, so you're thinking the unthinkable. God says, go back. So the unthinkable became the unstoppable. You see, don't lower the flag, church. Don't soften the message. Don't get strategic or subtle or clever. Just get back in the game, boys, because I've got power and authority. And when you channel and when you allow me to channel that power and authority through your life, the unthinkable becomes the unstoppable. You see, they once thought that what they were doing was unthinkable. They once experienced the waves on the Sea of Galilee when the boat was tossing to and fro, and they had little faith, and they were afraid in their minds that they were going to die, and now they're experiencing something that is unthinkable. And what you once thought is no more, because you see, they had crossed over into a new dimension in their lives. They had crossed over into a new dimension in Jesus Christ, and they had discovered their rightful purpose. They knew what they were there for. They knew what they were created for. They knew why they had been brought into this earth. They knew why Jesus Christ had picked them as a disciple. And the unthinkable, what they used to think was impossible, they now have become unstoppable. You see, they went right back to doing what God had called them to do. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to do what? They began to preach and teach. You see, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. You see, you can't stop what God is doing. No matter what move man makes, God can trump it. His purposes move forward. It's why it doesn't matter who wins the next election. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's in Pennsylvania Avenue. It doesn't matter who's running the government, because God says, I am going to do whatever I desire to do, because I am a force that I do not work under the laws of physics that man works under. I am my own law, and I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. And if we can channel ourselves into that kind of power, into that kind of authority, then we as a person, as an individual, as a church, we become unstoppable. You see, we can't stop what God is going to do. His message is never muted, no matter what opposition is thrown in the path. When the church of Jesus Christ begins to step out in faith with the unthinkable, when we begin to step out and say, God, I can't do this, but I want to do this. Please help me to do this. Give me the faith. Give me that trust in you to be able to step out with the unthinkable, and only then will the church become an unstoppable force. Listen, I don't claim to know it all. I'm far from perfect, but I've learned a few things over the years as I've walked with God, that God had me. God, I'm on this planet for a reason, and a reason is His divine purpose, or that reason is His divine purpose in our lives. And humans, we as human beings, we have an innate desire to win in life. We want to succeed, and the only way to truly let it, at least in God's eyes, let become a success is to discover and develop and deploy into God's divine purpose. Pursuing purpose, doing God's will, does not always eliminate the challenges that we have to face. We'll always have a challenge, but any Christian who's committed to becoming a conduit in the divine power of God is unstoppable, because the power comes from God. It's not His own power. It's not your own power. It's His power, and when His power flows through us, we become unstoppable. But we have to allow that power to freely flow. We have to surrender our lives. We have to surrender our will, surrender our vessel unto Him. When we look in the Word, there's so many examples in the Word. We read one of the earliest examples is Enoch, is a man who walked with God. He was unstoppable. He did the unthinkable. In Genesis 5:24, he walked with God and was not, for God took him. I've always been mystified. This guy has always been a mystery to me. Who was he? Where did he come from? What did he do? How did he develop such a power within his relationship with God that God says, this man is so powerful and perfect, I'm going to take him out of this earth. From Genesis through Revelation, from the garden to the city, we see glimpses of how Enoch walked with God. He walked by faith. He walked by faith. He walked in the light, and he had to have walked in full agreement with God. You see, he was consistent in his walk. He was consistent in his talk. He was sincere in his obedience to God, and he was sincere in his fellowship with God. We look at Noah. Noah was a man who never doubted. He took God serious. We never see Noah when God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. He never disagreed with God. He did what was called unthinkable. He built an ark. People had no idea around him what in the world was going on. He's building in his backyard a massive boat, but God commanded him to do it, and thus by doing the unthinkable, he became unstoppable. We look at Moses as a man of great humility, yet in his humility, he took on an impossible task, something that was unthinkable by any one standard. Moses, a man who was a shepherd working on the back 40 in the fields and the hills of the Sinai, and God calls him to lead a nation of some 3 million people out of Egypt into the promised land. Who would have thought that a man like Moses could have ever accomplished something like that? But when he submitted his will to God and he said, God, whatever you do, I will do it. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. He had his reasons, he had his excuses, but once he committed the unthinkable act, God, he became unstoppable. You see, once he committed, we look at Abraham. Abraham, when you really think about this, what did Abraham really actually do? I'm not knocking Abraham. Don't take it that way. But what did he actually do? He really didn't do anything but wander around and go wherever God told him to go. But in that process, God was looking at one thing and Abraham was looking at another. God was testing Abraham's faith. Where did Abraham get his faith? Why did he leave his homeland and march off into a country that he did not even know of, following after a God that nobody had seemingly heard of? Where did all of this happen? It all began to start with conversations with Abraham and God, and it all began to start in the mind of Abraham as he made decisions to follow and to begin to do the unthinkable. And as a result, He embraced the promises, even though he didn't understand them. Sometimes we want to argue with God because we don't understand. God, why do you have me do this? Why am I supposed to do that? I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. And we want to continually argue with God. And God says, it's either my way or not at all. And so many times we go away frustrated, but Abraham, even though he didn't understand, and through his limited knowledge of God and his limited faith in God, he left his homeland searching for a city, and he did the unthinkable, and through the unthinkable, he simply became unstoppable. We could go through the Old Testament. We could go through Joseph. We could go through Ruth, who was a woman who left everything she had for something far greater than anything she had ever imagined. She let her faith go. Her unthinkable put her in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. Esther was a woman who understood her times, and she sees the day not just only for her people, but also for her God. And it was her most dire moment in her life. It was literally a do or die situation. And she stepped up to the plate. She did the unthinkable, and she became the unstoppable. And God came through and saved not only Esther, but the whole nation of Israel. I look at Elisha. I love Elisha. He was simply a bald-headed miracle worker. You name it, he did the unthinkable, and it was all through the power of God. From the parting of the waters at Jericho, God used him. To filling the poor widow's vessels with oil, God used him. The Shunammite woman's son reviving him, God used him. The feeding the multitude on an insufficient quantity of food, God used him. Raising the iron axe which had fallen into the water, God used him. And even in his death, in his life, he did the unthinkable, and he became unstoppable. And years after his death, the Israelites were in battle, and one of the Israelites was killed in the battle, and his buddies said, we're not going to leave him behind. They had that policy, no man left behind, and they picked him up, and they began to carry him, and the enemy got closer and closer. They found an old cave. They pulled the brush back. They slung him in the cave, not knowing that that was where the old prophet Elijah was buried. Elisha, excuse me. And when his bones, when the dead man's, the dead soldier's bones hit the body of Elisha, he was dead. And there was enough God flowing through him. He was still in his death, unstoppable. All because in his life, he was willing to do the unthinkable. We look at Gideon, we look at David, who was unstoppable. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was unstoppable. Flogging, stonings, shipwrecks, and prison. Nothing could stop Paul. His attitude, for me to live is Christ. So when the enemy says, Paul, we're going to take and we're going to kill you, he says, that's all right. For me to die is gain. I'll make it to heaven. I'm ready to go. So you're going to kill me. That's a good thing. I'm ready to go. It's a gain for me. And they say, no, we're going to take and we're going to just torture you. That's all right. For me to live, it's Christ Jesus. For me to live, I can still witness. I can still take and share the word of God. He did the unthinkable. And the bottom line was, there's nothing that could or would stop the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he was unstoppable. Satan could not stop Jesus. They thought that when they were killing Jesus that they were winning. But actually what they were doing was they were sealing their fate. Because when the first drop of blood hit the ground, it sealed Satan's fate for eternity. Listen, church, we are unstoppable. If Satan knew any better, he would leave us alone, but he can't stop God's purpose. Satan cannot stop a woman of God or a man of God who is walking in their divine assignment. That's why he wants to get you and I frustrated. When we get frustrated, we quit. Satan cannot stop you. He cannot stop me, but we can stop ourselves when we give up and quit. So tonight, never give up. Never give up. Never cave in. Never throw in the towel. We can't quit. We can't quit. The only way we're going to lose, the only way we're going to become stoppable is if we quit. I will not lose because I refuse to quit. The Bible describes us as being able to do exceedingly, being able to do exceedingly. We can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, and that with him, nothing, in him, nothing will be impossible. You see, most people, most of our problems is we tend to think on the small side of things. We think small, we pray small, we believe small, and we live small. And we believe that God is able to do that for someone else, that it's always someone else that gets the blessing. It's always someone else that gets that job. It's always someone else that gets that car. It's always someone else that gets the pretty girl. It's always someone else that gets the handsome guy. That's never going to happen to me. Why is that? Because the way that we think, this kind of thinking, it limits God and what he can do in us and through us. It keeps us from realizing our full potential in life. This series, it's about faith. It's about trusting God and developing our potential in Jesus Christ. When we look at the word potential, one definition of the word says that it is what you can do but have not yet accomplished. If you aren't careful, you can hear this as reaching your potential is based solely upon your own efforts. But you must understand, and we must understand, it's all about surrendering ourselves to God and letting his will, his work be done in our lives. You can better define potential this way. Potential is how far you can go, not alone, but with God. I want to go as far as I can go in God. I want to experience everything that I can experience in God. I pray, God, take me wherever I have to go so I can realize and I can take and fulfill the greatest potential that you have for me. You see, God loves you, and he has great expectations for you. And when you develop and use what he's given you, whether you view it as big or small, you're developing the potential that he created in you. Moses didn't start off big. Abraham didn't start off big. David didn't start off big. Elisha didn't start off big. There's a starting point that we all have to, if we could say, submit our wills to his will. If he requires us to start off in a small ministry, start off in a small ministry. Whatever that is, no matter how big, how small, how grand, how tiny, start off and be faithful, and God will bless you. And as you begin to grow in him, as you begin to grow in his ministry, as you begin to grow in knowledge of his word, he will begin to grow you. You see, God loves us, and he has great expectations for us. We read in Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Bible that we are God's own handiwork. We are His workmanship. We are recreated in Christ Jesus. We were born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined, God planned beforehand for us, taking us down paths that He prepared ahead for us when the time came that we should walk in them, living a godly life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live in. But so many times, we like to do our own thing. Listen, God doesn't expect us to do all of this by ourselves. As we pray asking for His direction, we need to take time to stop and listen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding." You see, we have to understand something tonight, church, that each and every one of us, each and every one of us, we are so very unique. We're so very different. You see, God is into creativity. He didn't make all of the elephants identical. They all are different. Every time it snows, it just boggles my mind in a blizzard that every snowflake that falls to the ground is different. That's how humanity is. No people, out of 7 billion people on this planet, no two people have the same DNA or the same fingerprint. That's how God, how much God is into creativity. He only created one of you. There'll never be anyone else who can do exactly what He prepared you to do. You see, on the earth, value is often determined by how readily available or how scarce something is. So we look at gold and we place a big value on gold. We look at silver. Silver's more plentiful. It's not quite as valuable as gold. You see, but Jesus said in Matthew 16:24-26, He was talking to His disciples and He said, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profiteth is a man if he gains the whole world?" What good is it if you've got billions and billions and billions of dollars and you lose your own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, this message is about surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. But it's also about your value. You see, Jesus is saying that every person has more value than the whole world. And why is that? Because the earth, as we know, is going to pass away. But you and I, we're going to live forever. We got to understand also that it's not the opinion of others that matters most. It's God's opinion that matters most. You see, you can't afford to follow and allow past failures, the past thoughts and opinions of others, leaving you feel of less value. You see, don't let anyone or anything cause you to believe that your life doesn't matter and doesn't have a purpose, because that's a lie. If somebody looks at you and says, you know, you're worthless, that's a lie. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. I have up here in my possession, I have up here a $20 bill. And when I look at this $20 bill, it's worth $20. That's what it's worth. We know that, because it says 20 on it. But you see, I would guess that there's a high probability that this $20 bill was used to buy illegal drugs. About 75% of our currency has drug residue on it. Did you know that? It's got drug residue on it. I was amazed at that. And law enforcement tell us that it's almost impossible to find a $20 bill that doesn't have traces of cocaine on it. Okay? So, I look at this $20 bill. This could have been stolen from somebody. Somebody could have dropped it on the ground at East Town in the parking lot, and somebody could have picked it up, and they could have spent it at Hardee's, and they make the deposit, and it ends up in Cottage Grove Bank, and then I end up getting it when I cash my check. I have no idea where this $20 bill has been. And you see, our lives are like this $20 bill, Brother Tracy. It doesn't matter what residue's on it. It doesn't matter if it's been stolen, if it's been used in a bad deal, it doesn't matter where it's been, because the U.S. Treasury says this is worth $20. What's happened to this does not devalue its value. And so many times the enemy likes to come to us when we're a $20 bill and tell us that we're not worth anything because we got cocaine residue on us. We're not worth anything because we've been used maybe even for solicitation of prostitution. We're not worth anything because we're dirty. But you see, God says, what's the value on that? It's 20 bucks. You're worth every bit of the $20. You see, your life is not valued and determined by what you've been through. It was determined by God. Bad things may have happened in your life, and that does not present a problem for God. You see, we need to agree with God. Sometimes we have a hard time with this. We need to agree with God. You see, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, you are not redeemed through corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, all the world's silver and all the world's gold is not enough to redeem one soul. You see, it's only the precious blood of Jesus Christ that can redeem us. And understand something, and this is something that it just was kind of a real hit me on the side of the head type thing. Understand this, Jesus didn't die to make us valuable. Sometimes we think that he died to make us valuable, and because he died, that's where our value comes from, but he died because of our value. His death proved to us our value. It was because he died. He died because of our value. And on your worst day, imaginable, to God, you're still worth more than the whole entire world. You see, here's another thing that God wants you to understand. You didn't get your identity from your parents. You see, your identity, who you are, and who you are going to be, that comes from God. We say, well, your dad's sitting up there. You look a lot like your dad. I may get some physical identity from my dad, but my spiritual identity, it comes from God. You see, God told Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So before you were even born, can we understand this tonight? Before Michelle Pena was even born, God said, I've got a wife for him. I've got a ministry for him. I've got a purpose in his life. And if he accepts that will, I will do the unthinkable and he will become unstoppable. You see, God, you may say, well, my parents planned me. God planned you. God planned you. And please don't limit God by trying to fulfill your own destiny in your life instead of surrendering to him. And also, we can't limit God. We can't limit God. You see, Psalm 78:41, we're told that God's people, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They saw him split the Red Sea. They walked through on dry ground with their own eyes. They saw Pharaoh and his armies drown. They received the provisions of manna and water and all of that that flowed out of the rock, miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet in verse 42, it says they did not remember his power. How can we limit God? By just simply forgetting. Just simply forgetting what he's done for us in our lives. By forgetting where he's brought us from. You see, you're here tonight, and how you got here is irrelevant. Some of us got here by way of jail. Some of us got here by way of Crown Victoria. Some of us got here by way of a Hyundai. Some of us got here by way of a bicycle. Some of us may have got here by way of Madison Metro and your 2 feet. It doesn't matter how you got here, you're here. And this is ordained by God. And be encouraged. Be encouraged. You see, we need to repeat often the potential that's within us and how we got to where we are. Sometimes we just forget about all of that, Bishop. Sometimes I forget about how I got to where I got and why I'm where I am. It's just like, well, that's just my past. That's God's hand moving through our lives. And so many times, I was talking with Brother Tim Powell about Brother Fernando, and who knows, it may have been the only reason, the underlying reason that their families came in contact with one another was for the salvation of Fernando. And you look at where everything is gone and all the relationships and how they're all woven together, and we forget. So we need to be encouraged. You see, faith, it takes faith to go where you have never gone before and to do what you've never done before. It takes faith. And Romans 1:17 says, for it is in the righteousness of God that revealed from faith to faith that it is written, the just shall live by faith. Notice it says faith to faith. So many times we try to live on yesterday's faith. We try to live on yesterday's victory. We try to live on yesterday's experience. And God is saying, no, wait a minute. I want this every day. I want this every day. I want you to grow in faith, not live off of yesterday. I want you to experience something new today. And you can live today and you can grow off of that today. So if you could stand, if our musicians can come. See, finally, there's not a person alive today who has not been gifted by God. You may sit here tonight and say, you know what, I don't have any gifts. God knows your potential. God knows your potential. God looks down at this church and he sees the untapped power. He sees the dormant abilities and the unused strength that's inside each and every one of us. You see, this potential right now in many of us, it's in seed form. And it has to grow and it has to be developed. And we have to be patient. We never ask God for more than he's able to do. It's time for us to start thinking bigger thoughts, church. If we're going to reach this county, we've got to think bigger. We've got to pray bigger. We've got to believe bigger. And we got to live bigger. And it's also time for us, whether saved or unsaved, if you want to fulfill the greatest potential in your life, you have to surrender your life to God. That's your first step of faith. You have to surrender and exercise your faith. And then when you exercise that faith, you will begin to realize your potential in God. So maybe tonight, you know in your heart that you haven't come close to the potential that you feel God is calling you to. And you've just been kind of sitting stagnant. Why don't you start thinking the unthinkable? Why don't we start thinking the unthinkable? Why don't we start praying prayers that are just unthinkable prayers? God, we need 100 soul revival. We'll have more than 100 people on Saturday. Let's just start thinking that God is just going to fall. The power of the Holy Ghost is going to fall on this clinic. You say, well, really hasn't done a whole lot before. You know, we've had a little bit here, a little bit there. What if we all came in here on Saturday? Everyone that's here came in here on Saturday and we all said, we're not going to leave here until we have 100 souls prayed through. Would we begin to think the unthinkable, Brother Phil? I believe it is then that God takes and honors our unthinkable thoughts. And we get into the realm of the unstoppable. So tonight, as we open up this front area, this altar to pray, if you feel like you've fallen so short, maybe you haven't even started tonight in your relationship with God. Do you trust God enough? Do you have enough faith in God to say, God, whatever you desire in my life? I know there are people here that are empty, that are dry. You wonder what's next in your life because you don't see. You don't see. You can't perceive things changing. God's saying, just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. Just step out in faith and trust.